this morning I've broken up the talk into several smallish chunks, but to set the scene, I'm going to ask Dot to read from the Old Testament. Thanks.
This reading is from Psalm 121, 1 to 8. I look up to the mountain. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your positive shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever.
Thank you, Todd. This is such a reassuring piece. It's sometimes referred to as the Traveller's Prayer, and it's believed to have been one of many songs sung by the pilgrims who climbed the mountains to reach Jerusalem. Did you like the imagery that it painted? It tells us that God is with us on every journey, and he gives us protection. Just a shade from the sun can offer us when it gets too hot or too bright. We're reminded that God guards us and protects us just as much when we come home as he does when we are away. It describes the rhythm of life and the importance of taking rest when we are on the move. We're going to be exploring the theme of rushing and resting today, and how we can find a holiday space for ourselves, within ourselves, when we need to. At the beginning of the service, we had a little chat about holidays, about going on holidays. Well, holidays can be great fun, but they don't always guarantee rest or refreshment, do they? Often we need a holiday when we get back from holiday. Staycations have become quite a thing, but travelling in our own country is not a cheap option under any circumstances. The brutal economy of recent times means that prices for everything have remained stubbornly high. A day trip to the seaside requires a small mortgage. The price of an ice cream from a van makes me wince. When my children were young, I remember very well the huge stress and costs of finding good people to look after them when during the school holidays I had to work. And I am a little ashamed to say I was envious of other friends who seemed to have the luxury of being full-time mums. I realize, of course, now how shallow that was, but I had no choice. And the personal guilt that I felt when I wasn't at home with my very young children has never left me. I wonder how many of you have felt the same. Yet conversely, when I was going to be at home with my two during the holidays, I remember that feeling of utter panic. What on earth was I going to do with them to keep them from being bored without going bankrupt? And that insane stress of packing up to go somewhere, anywhere, thinking of every conceivable situation that might require cowpole, first aid kit, wetsuits, special toys, enough food to feed an army, and the constant fear of never letting an offspring out of my sight. Now then, who here amongst us has ever resorted to hiding in the loo just to have 5 minutes to themselves? And yet the children still bang on the door to get in. Even my dog would want to come in the loo with me. Well, we can laugh about here. We can laugh about it here. But it is hard. Holidays can be really hard. I'm looking at you, Claire. Yet having a break, a holiday, stepping out of the rat race is essential. Everyone needs time and space for rest and recovery. So, what can we do? How can we carve out a space so we can switch off long enough to feel the benefit? In just a moment, we're going to hear New Testament verses from Mark that can give us a really good start. They are two separate sets of texts which occur immediately before and after two very, very well-known Bible events, the feeding of the 5,000 and when Jesus walked on the water. In a way, these texts that you'll hear in a moment are sometimes overlooked. Think of them, if you like, as two slices of bread and butter, with these two famous stories being the filling. Keith, where are you? This is what happened when Jesus took his disciples away to find somewhere to rest.
Today's second reading is taken from Mark 6, verses 30 to 34 and 53 to 56. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had been done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped in the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. They brought the boat to shore and climbed out. The people recognized Jesus at once, and they ran throughout the old area, carrying sick people and mats to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he went, in villages, cities, or the countryside, they brought the sick out of the marketplaces. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. And all who touched him were healed. Amen.
Thanks, Keith. I wonder how it must have been for all of the apostles with that constant rushing from pillar to post with little chance to rest or eat for what could have been weeks or months on end. No doubt they were being constantly jostled by the excited crowds who wanted to see Jesus, this Jesus who came to save and to heal. We can't ever really know what it was like, but we can try. Let's watch and listen to the suggested words of one exhausted apostle played by Sarah. When the film finishes, I'm going to leave a few moments' space for you to consider the testimony and to pray.
We had a fantastic time telling people all the things Jesus had been teaching us. We'd been able to heal people ourselves, and the buzz of excitement about what was happening just got better and better. You can imagine the noise when we got back to where Jesus was, everybody trying to tell them their bit of news, get his approval and find out what had been happening to everyone else. And at the same time, other people were arriving, asking to see him, piling in from every street. And he was talking to them and healing them as well. It was Well, it was absolute chaos. We didn't even have time to prepare a meal for ourselves. Well, Jesus realised what was going on. And seeing how exhausted we all were, he suggested we get away from it all and have some time to get our breath back. We thought we'd managed to slip away by boat across the lake. Somehow, the people spotted us and they ran around to the other side. They beat us to it. They were there waiting as a big crowd. And my heart sank. I was so tired and absolutely starving. We needed some peace and quiet. But then Jesus said that verse from the book of Numbers to us. They're just like sheep running about without a shepherd. And he just got on with it, teaching them right up until it was too dark to see any more. The same thing happened when we got into the boat and went into Gennesaret. There was the crowd waiting on the shore. Everywhere we went, towns, villages, even out in the countryside. It was always the same. People begging him to heal their friends, their family, whoever they'd brought. Some just asked if they could touch his cloak and they were healed too. It was an absolutely exhausting time, but I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Did you catch the note of exhaustion in her voice? None of us are exempt from such feelings, even when, as in her situation, she was thrilled and wouldn't have missed it for the world. The clamour and the frantic activity all around her must have been unbelievable. When I was contemplating what I was going to do, I remembered a very well-known saying, busyness is not a virtue. I don't know if anyone else has heard that. Although lots of us know, living in a very fast-paced world, hell-bent on productivity, that many think that it is. So I started looking for more such sayings. Who's heard this one? If you want something done, ask the busiest person in the room. The great philosopher Socrates coined this one. Beware the barrenness of a busy life. Ouch. How many of us describe our situations as being crazy busy? The thing about being crazy busy, the advantage of it, if you like, is that it keeps us so far out in front of our life that it numbs the truth of how we're really feeling. It's a very useful strategy for the short term, but in the long term, if we fail to take the time to process whatever we're choosing to avoid, it will come back and bite. It really will. Yet busyness is the new norm. Being crazy busy is how we live. I know for sure I'm not the only one being guilty of it. I know you. I think that if I can squeeze one more job in, then I'll get ahead. Well, sometimes that's true, but I usually end up exhausted. I also find myself thinking this, that I'm not getting any younger. What a waste of time it would be if I read, dreamt, nattered with friends, stared into space, when I might not have the privilege of tomorrow. So I end up going round and round in ever-decreasing circles, and I'm wiped out for a week or more. So I've in fact lost precious time. Has anyone heard this expression? I'm full of expressions today. Retreating is to advance. Or is that new to everyone? It's new. Okay. Retreating is to advance. Well, it's self-explanatory, really, but it can seem counterintuitive. How can going backwards enable us to go forward? In this context, retreat, though, means to rest, recover, and restore. It's so easy to get caught up in the frenzy of activity as we push hard to advance the kingdom of God on earth and manage our work lives, family lives, and a myriad of other elements. If we use Jesus Christ as the perfect example, we can see that his approach to advancing God's agenda was, first, to retreat. Retreating, withdrawing from normal activity for a period of time in order to prepare for intense activity. Jesus began his ministry, of course, by withdrawing into the wilderness for 40 days of prayer and fasting. He continued that practice throughout his years of ministry. One verse that continually challenges is in Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, when it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place to pray. If Jesus, the Lord of the universe, needed to get away to a solitary place, away from distractions, to be able to rest and pray, who are we to think that we don't need it, or that our busy schedules don't allow it? It's precisely because we have such busy schedules that we need that time of withdrawal. But why retreat? Why not just a little bit of extra prayer at home? Is it necessary to go away and pray? Well, certainly we all pray in our own homes, and that will remain the site of most of our praying. But Jesus saw the need to get out of the house and away from potential distractions. If I need to pray about something properly, I almost always need to get away from things, from technology, day-to-day responsibilities, and especially from the paraphernalia of daily life. They distract me, they attract me. For some of us, a retreat may simply be an extended walk where prayer becomes the main focus. It could mean finding a place, ideally near nature, where current cares and worries can be laid aside and serious prayer being taken up. Whether it's for an hour, a day, a week, a carefully planned out retreat can revitalize our spiritual, emotional, and also our physical well-being. Some may think that a retreat is only for crisis situation, crisis management, but that's not its basic intent. It can be an amazing opportunity to draw near to God. Going away from distractions and to a place of peace is often the needed element to rest and restore our faith and our Christian life. There are many possibilities when you look for a place to get away with the Lord for an extended time of fellowship with him and for prayer. You could choose a place prepared just for that purpose. There are actually local places, not too far from here, that run half day, whole day, and longer retreats. However, not many of us can drop everything and head to a beautiful place somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. But there are other possibilities. Take a walk in a quiet part of a park, in any weather. God is in it all. Visit a church you don't know and be present. If you can, leave your phone at home. But at the very least, turn it to silent. Stop scrolling. When Hermione Granger in the Harry Potter series is entrusted with a device that will turn back time so she can attend more school lessons, she finds that having more time is not actually a solution, as it means just packing more into her days than before. She said this, "If only I had more time." But we never have more time. We only have right now, the moment when our lives unfold. How can we find time to retreat, to rest, to restore? Well, I'm going to teach you a really practical strategy. The stewards are going to hand out some sheets of paper and pens, if you don't happen to have one, and I'd like them back, please. And when you've got your paper, I want you to draw on it a large circle. You can fill the paper, or just a whole circle. And there will be an image on the screen to give you an idea what we're going to do. So we'll do that first. Yes, you could take it home. Pens are coming, I think. You've got two there. Two coming. Oh, I've got fingers and thumbs now, Mick. Them down. It's coming. Yeah. Pens are coming. It's another one. Dave, do you want one? Has everybody got paper? What about pens? Everybody got pens? Who needs one? Yep, pens down there, please. Okay, so this circle represents 24 hours of your particular day. I want you to mark in the middle a small dot, and from that dot, you're going to stretch out some lines to the edge of the circle, but have a think before you do. Mark your wedges according to how much of your day is spent sleeping, working, driving, playing sport, studying, perhaps watching the TV or other screen time, cooking and eating, socializing, reading the Bible, and praying. Everyone is going to be different. You will certainly have other important demands on your time from somebody else. Don't rush, take your time, and if your neighbour needs some help, please help. Well, you're ahead of me already, because I was going to say working in twos and threes, compare your party charts and discuss what you found. And when you've done that, discuss how you can adjust your pattern to be more how you would like it to be. And if you want to pray for someone about it, please do. I think the clamour is starting to go down, so we'll call that a day on that one. So you can take that home with you. Might be something that you choose to work on when you get home. That's very nice, Anne. Very nice. Yeah. So finding the right balance that will work for you is quite a challenge. Finding the time, money and opportunity for an actual holiday is even harder, but we all do need to remember this, retreat to advance. When the disciples were terrified they were going to drown on the Sea of Galilee, do you remember what Jesus said to them? Anyone? Take courage, I am here. And the calm fell on them, and even the sea. So if even the sea can rest, so must we. Be it 5 minutes sitting on a park bench, drawing breath, carving some space for yourself. Find your own desert place, just like Jesus did. The greatest teacher of all, who showed us by example how imperative it is to take a rest. For how else can we hear the small voice of God? Dear Lord, help us now to be still and quiet, just for the next couple of moments, to think about you. Band is now going to lead us in our next song.